Okay, I'm Kim Weemet. I live at 24 Guilford Drive, which is directly across from the wooded area that I've been looking at for 20 years now. I have two children that have grown up there, with a couple of kids in the audience that have grown up there together. I really don't even know where to start. I heard so much information from the board, kind of made my head spin. I guess I'll start with a couple of comments that how our councilman had said. Back in 2017, when you became councilman, I had already been fighting. I made Ozzy's known. It was known that I did not, that we did not want Ozzy's there because of the management that it had. I fought for no parking signs on my street on one side because our buses couldn't get down the street. Emergency personnel couldn't get down the street. Years later, after parties for political people parked, double parked, we had to come and ask for no parking at all in the street on Pell to keep our neighborhood safe. Recently, just Rhode Island Home Improvement has been using that lot for 3 years. And I do wanna say it is an eyesore and we do need to change it. We're not against that at all. We're against safety. The red light is okay. I've been trying to change the, I'm all over the place, I'm so sorry. Hold on, let me open my notes. So, Rhode Island Home Improvement's entrance is the same as the entrance that they want to keep at the end of our road. Rhode Island Home Improvement parks not inside their spot but on the side. You cannot, when you're coming, you can't even make a swing. We have since day one, I will say that we have worked together. We're not saying we haven't. The plans change every time we meet, every time. It was known that we couldn't close off Pell and open up Guilford. People would loop around. We had that problem with Ozzy's a lot. They're going to skip the red light and they're going to loop around. That's why there's two entrances there now. So closing off one isn't helping the neighborhood. Closing off both and just going in and out the front if that's what they were going to do. But I have been working with DOT. I have to put my glasses on, to try to make that intersection before this happened safer for my neighbor who has lived there for 54 years. She's 78. She was almost hit last year. I've been trying to get the traffic signals to stop. And DOT has told me, this is from DOT themselves just last week, that to have an inclusive traffic signal timing and phasing require the safety and efficient travel operations be considered. Most of the complaints and calls we get at the traffic signals are for too short or not enough green time. And to delay all traffic, both motorists and other road users, such as pedestrians, such would certainly increase the amount of time at least vehicular traffic has to wait each and every time a pedestrian presses the button, because I'm asking when the pedestrian pushes the button that the traffic stops, because the traffic does not stop there. You get just a few seconds and the traffic comes at you. And I think it's misleading to some of our elderly people that can't get across. And if you've tried to cross that road, it's very difficult. And he says, as he noted on the phone with me, because that intersection is already busy during peak travel periods, the motorists are already aggressive. And I'd expect a change that makes motorists wait longer would only increase and not decrease the occurrences of aggressive driving. So I can't get more time to cross the crosswalk for elderly and people traveling because of it would make aggressive driving, but we're going to add how many, so they gave me 5 seconds to get across now and they put up a sign. So I don't know how we can add a whole 20 to 30 seconds on if we can't add on for safety of the public to even get across. that intersection. That's just on safety of walking up pedestrians. I've also talked to DOT about this red light. They didn't seem like to me that they were in agreement, and we still have not seen anything from DOT that has come out. We have a few other projects going on in that intersection coming up. We have the old Inn and Hope is going to be something, and we have something going on down Post Road that they're starting to pave the side roads. And I know that that neighborhood is having a problem as well with traffic cutting through. So back to leaving one entrance open at the end of the end of Guilford, it's just safety not going to work. No one can make the swing. Again, Rhode Island Home Improvement parks right there. We can't get trucks down. It's a very small, narrow street with no parking. That's what I had to say about the parking and the DOT. As for the building, when we first found out about this, I had already received a text from someone that had talked to our councilman that knew this was going on. We didn't know this was going on until we came home and found signs. What were they? Auction signs on the trees. I've reached out to him multiple times. I haven't talked to him yet. I missed one meeting that he went to. He has not come around to talk to the neighborhood at all. Obviously, we know that he's in favor of it, and that's fine, but we would have liked to talk to him, and maybe he could have helped us and everyone understand instead of us all being here like, you know, we don't have a chance to even, you know, say our case pretty much, because it seems like, you know, everyone's patting each other on the back. So we are all very nervous. We're losing privacy. We're losing our wooded area. It's wooded. It's not commercial. There's nothing commercial about it at all. We were promised, like my last neighbor said, that property would never be touched because it was inside of a neighborhood. We were all for working together, but the line kept getting further and further and further. And then the city said they would take care of it, and then they wouldn't take care of it. So I'm totally against this. Because we don't really know what's going to be there. We don't, I object to this. I have so much to say, but I can't. As for it being under contract with RIAC, I've always talked to RIAC. They've always been the ones in charge of that field. And for a comment that I heard that they had to put it up for sale, that's totally untrue. When Carvel went up for sale, underneath their description was the land behind our house. To help sell Carvel, it said, purchase this land and make a bigger spot. So RIAC didn't go after them. It was a selling point, which we were told from the previous owners that he was trying to get it to make it a parking lot. Probably have a lot more to say, but I'm very nervous because a lot of stuff that I heard here tonight was just, I don't know. This is our neighborhood. It's a neighborhood. You live there. No one lives there, right? So, you know, 20 years I've been looking at a wooded lot. Now I'm going to look at the back of a dumpster. Why do they have to come that far back? Every other business on Post Road does not come that far back. And again, the intersection can't hold it. The parking, I just have one more thing to say. When we first started, the bank was supposed to be 25. And whatever was going on next door was going to be 25. And there were 35 parking spots, even though it was required 63. But then it went down to 28. On the second drawing, the bank was reduced from 2,500 to 2,240, and the office space became 2,800. So it increased by 40. And the other drawing, the second drawing, still didn't say anything about the 35 spots. And it went from 28 to 26 parking spots. And that's 4 handicap, 2 for each building, and 22 spots available. So if we have maybe six people that work at the bank, we now only have 16 spots. And maybe if we have 4 to 10 people working at the retail, that only leaves us 6 spots. And we have no online, no on-street parking in our neighborhood. So we don't know where all the cars would go for a bank and a retail. We were told only one building at the beginning, and then it turned to two. It's not a big space. And we do appreciate him working with us. I don't even know what to say anymore. I feel like we already lost because everyone already knows, which we were already told that everyone has been talking about it. It's just really sad because once this happens, the rest of the properties in airport and near the airport, it's going to happen. Hopefully no one lives around there because this is coming to you. And it's inside our neighborhood. It's not on Post Road. It's not commercial. It's residential. It was residential. And that is unfair for the airport and the city to do that to our families. Thank you.
Thank you. The next individual. Good evening, sir.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for your time, everyone. My name is Harold Wemet. I live at 24 Guilford Drive. That was my wife. How you doing, Councilman Howe? It's nice to finally look at you and meet you. I love the way you say you put all this work in, but this is the first time I've ever met you. Who did you talk to? I'd like to know.
Continue.
Sir, we're just having your comments at this time.
Oh, okay. I think I feel foolish and I'm embarrassed. I think my wife and I have been very naive through this process. Maybe we haven't done the right things. I'm not sure. About September or something, we get a call from a friend of ours that Councilman Howe is out telling people there's going to be a bank there across the street from our house. Our friend calls us and tells us that. A few weeks after, our friend calls us and tells us that. Then the signs go up for an auction. So he knew Bay Coast Bank was going to be there before it was even auctioned off. I wonder how. And then, what do we have? We got letters from DOT. The signs appear. We argue. They took down the signs right away. Being in the state of Rhode Island my whole life, I'm kind of aware of how it works. We all know each other. Everybody knows everybody. And everybody works together to get things done. It's a very nice thing sometimes. But then sometimes it's not. Then sometimes everybody works with everybody behind the scenes. And the people, the people who live in Warwick for 20 years, the taxpayers, they have no voice. So we go to the auction, and when I recorded the auction, and after I asked around people, like, what's happening, who are the players involved, I asked questions about them, about people that I know, and they said, they said that, you know, Mr. Corsetti is a very wealthy man, very, very well-connected man, just like he has himself told me, he's done projects like this up and down the Northeast. Fine. We're so against it. So when we record the auction, the lady behind the auction desk is standing here. There's people all around in the lot standing there to do the auction. And there's people with their tags, they all have their numbers in their hands. They're all standing there getting ready to the auction. The lady goes to the preliminary auction stuff she has to say. And then she says, $400,000. Nobody wants it. $400,000. Then she looks at Mr. Crossetti, says, it's not going south from here. And then Mr. Garcetti unzips his jacket and pulls out his number and makes the bid. First, I'm from Rhode Island. That looks a little fishy to me. We talk to the planning board members. We talk to the mayor. We all have a meeting. The mayor comes down to the meeting. We all stand there and talk. They ask us to voice our concerns. We voice our concerns. They tell us about the process and how things are happening. They keep telling us throughout this time when we call there, totally worried because this is our home we lived in for 20 years. Like, oh my God, what's going to happen? Don't worry. If anything's going to go through, we're going to tell you. We'll inform you about the meetings. We'll inform you about the hearings and we'll inform you of everything. Okay. So we go out. We have the meeting inside the office, the old building. They bring an idea of what a proposal of what can be. We look at it. We go in the back and they guarantee us, Mr. Corsetti, the mayor, they stand there at the telephone pole that we all walk to, and they say, it's not going to come past this line. So being there 20 years, seeing the blight when you drive by Airport Road, the most traveled intersection in the state of Rhode Island. And with Warwick, we should have better than that. People coming in from the airport. I totally agree with that. But I don't agree with the way it's going down. And we went to meetings. We talked to Mr. Garcetti. They told us not pass the poll. We went to the planning meeting, the master planning meeting, and we spoke and we got a chance to say things. We heard some things. Everything was sounding okay. And then we talked about the telephone pole that the mayor and Mr. Garcetti said they would not go past. We pointed it out there. We tried to walk up to the screen and talk and point it out. And then the engineering, the woman from the engineering company came up and said, you know, I can see the shadow of that pole. And that pole is really just 5 feet, you know, the line just 5 feet past that pole. So we had a big we're upset. We were talking about it. It was a big stressful situation at the planning board meeting. But we all agreed that, hey, you know what? We don't want to have blight in the neighborhood. We know we have to. We want to work with the developer and have something done here. So then they say, you know what? Make sure you have a meeting. Have the engineering company go out there and stake it out, and we'll show exactly where our proposal is. And this way, you guys can see, and you'll see it's only 5 feet past the pole. So of course, we talk. We have our meeting planned. So they can have engineers come out there and show us how far past the pole they're going to go. We're at a planning board meeting, and it's a big problem. So we say, don't worry about it. This is a fix. And we're saying, you know what? Maybe we're in the planning board meeting, and they're seeing that they're going to work with us, and they're going to send somebody out there, and they're going to stake out the things. And every day that I get up, I have anxiety in my chest because this is my home, and I don't know what's going to happen every day. So when they say they're going to do a meeting, right, and I go to that meeting, and who shows up? Lou, who works for the company, and the Speaker of the House of Representatives. That's it. That's who shows up. To what? What for? To tell me everything's pie in the sky still? That everybody's slapping, congratulating everybody, what a great job you guys are all doing? Meanwhile, they tell us, don't worry about this, and then this changes. Don't worry about this, and then this changes. No one's telling us the truth. Please wait until the DOT gives a rendering of what can happen for the intersection. Please let the studies be done first before you approve this. We can postpone this. We can wait a little while. We can make sure those DOT studies come in first so we know what the impact is on the intersection and the neighborhood. We can have them first before we have to go this step. I think we're going too fast. And all I can see is getting rolled over. The councilman I've never spoken to, he's never come down and talked to us about it. He knew about the Bay Coast Bank before the signs even went up. What? I don't understand that. I'm so confused by this whole situation. And the funniest thing is, I'm a Rhode Island State Constable. I do work for maybe 100 different lawyers. We're in Rhode Island. I've been a constable for 18 years, maybe 19 years now. I can't find somebody who will go against the speaker. So I'm looking at you guys to stand up. Let's postpone this. Let's figure out what's really going on, and then we'll see. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next up.
How you doing? Scott Coleman, 43 Guilford Drive. Again, I've been there for 20 years. My problem with the plan and everything was first of all, I got the paper like Barbara did last week, the first time we've actually gotten the paper that there was a meeting. But I did attend a couple of meetings earlier, and one of the very first meetings I went to, the plan's out in front of us, and the mayor is there. And this is where, for me, all this dishonesty started. The mayor said, I've never seen the plans. So I took his word for it that he had never seen the plans. And afterwards, the mayor walked up to one of I don't know if it was him or one of the guys that was there with him, and said, wow, this plan's different than what I had originally, different than what you're showing me. So obviously the mayor right off the bat had already seen the plan, which I don't know. That just threw me for a loop right there. And being that I've lived there for 20 years, I can't even tell you how many accidents have happened out in front of right there. I mean, it's almost a weekly occurrence. A serious accident happens, including my wife got in an accident right there. My car got destroyed. And I think Barbara's niece got hit right there. I mean, it's just constant right there. And now we're going to put an intersection right, we're going to put an entrance right in the middle of an intersection that you already can't get through. I drive a truck. I drive a pickup truck. And I got to tell you, it is a struggle for me every day to get into my street if there's a car parked, if they're not parked, because it's not Rhode Island improved. It's the street is too small. So if there's a car waiting to come out, which now if this bank goes in is going to be there all the time because that's the only exit, basically, I will no longer be able to go down my street to get to my house. I'll have to loop down either Pell or I'll have to come from the other direction. I mean, it's stupid. I have a boat. I mean, my boat's not going down that street ever again once this opens up. I'll have to figure out how to do the loop, which a lot of people are going to do now. They're going to loop around to beat all that traffic. I have a child, 12-year-old. I play in that little park almost every night. We play soccer over there. That's not going to happen as much anymore. I agree with your statement that it was kind of nice that he gave us that space, but you can't take, if I had 50 baseballs in front of me and you take away the 50 baseballs and then you hand me back 10 and say, look, I gave you 10 back. I mean, that logic just doesn't work for me. So, like I said, I'm completely opposed to it. I mean, I got to be honest, if it goes in, I mean, we're going to have to sell out, because I can't live on that street like that. And it's residential. I mean, the lot behind is residential. I don't even know why it's a discussion. I mean, put in 4-6 houses, charge $500,000 each house, and call it a day. I mean, the market's great, Get it before everything goes down. But I don't know, it just doesn't work for me. And again, I don't even believe that this is the rail plan. I mean, the architect didn't even know how much square footage he had. I mean, I'm a businessman. I know how much square footage is in my building. I mean, come on, it doesn't even make sense. He couldn't even open the easel. So I'm just not for it. That's all I got.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else here tonight that would like to speak against this project? Is there anyone else here that would like to speak against this project? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in this project at all, just having their voice on the record? Come on up, sir.
I'm going to turn this around so that you can see it too. Sorry, I'm going to keep it.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Dennis Paolucci, and I live at 30 Pell Avenue. Before I address the city fathers and state my business, I would like to recognize a few people that got us where we are today. First, I would like to thank all my neighbors on Pell Avenue, on Guilford Drive, Airway Road, and the rest of Hillsgrove. Our neighbor, John Ritchie, who was all about the neighborhood. Warwick Beacons, John Howell, who has covered this story so far and has not skipped a beat, in all his readers. Last but not least, I would like to thank and extend a warm welcome to our new neighbors, Lou Mavendola, David Corsetti, who have come to the table countless amounts of times, and their lawyer, Joseph Sicacci, who has gone above and beyond to make this project work out between the developers and the neighborhood. As a collective group, a community, a neighborhood, we feel strongly that it is It is the best that the land buffer on plot 322 that the developer is willing to give as open space be zoned open space. What discussed and pushed forward at the first meeting in front of the planning board, nothing less. If the planning board found that to be the remedy to the situation, then that must mean something to the council. The city will make a lot of money off this development within its first year and make plenty off taxes from us. It does not need this small piece of land to milk too. These are our homes that will be affected by a commercial zoning that will go right up to our property lines. Bad enough that the traffic will affect our neighborhood. Personally, my house, 30 Pell Avenue, right here, will be affected the most, seeing how the commercial zoning will touch my land at three points. This post right here, this post right here, and along the back. We cannot lose out because the city wants to make money. We are sick of hearing, well, you live near the airport. That's not true. We were here first. These are our homes, number one. And my family, like others on my street, had been in Hills Grove before the airport. What it is now, and that's what it all, we were here before the airport. And what it is now is what I'm trying to say. And that's what this all boils down to. The airport wants to now give up land that it once deemed what one could call unfertile, and the city now wants to make money on it. But what about us? What about the people that lost their homes because at the time the land was no good? Now for big profit, it's okay. Why are we being forgotten? I will not let what my family worked so hard for and has been in the same spot for 50 plus years go to waste. We have lived in a residential area our whole lives. We want something that we can have permanently and be able to keep enjoying. It will be small, but it will be something for us. We can walk dogs, the children can play ball. If this becomes commercial, right up to my land and my neighbors behind me, the Powers in the back, you can see them over here. They live on Gifford. I live on Pell. Where were they? Behind my house. It would be worth it. We want something that we can have permanently and be able to keep enjoying. It will be small, but it will be something for us. We can walk our dogs. Commercial right up to my property. Sorry, I lost myself when I turned away. Just because there is a bigger image, the city century, this does not mean that the surrounding neighborhood will be benefiting. The council has to remember that a lot of these developments that are happening or are in the future are on land that is situated in neighborhoods that the airport took. Again, this is not a benefit. We want the council to take this into serious consideration because this is no joke. We're scared. We have gone through a lot and we are not asking for a lot. Just because the city is going to make plenty off this, that does not mean we have to lose out. We want open space, we want something permanent, and we want the city to recognize everything we have done and gone through the past 2 years. We are asking for footage, not acreage. If it comes down to us taking care of it, then so be it. This would not be reflected through commercial with residential restrictions. This has caused us a lot of headaches and troubles, and we are not coming back here in front of the council for the whole process again later down the road. Now the fate of our homes lies in the council's hands. Please think of us first. This is what we want, and we want our elected officials to reflect that in their decision-making here tonight. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good night. I just have to say one last thing, too, because I put this in there. Everything here that I have stated is contingent on the fact that if all of us can come into agreement on the final plan, okay, we have to come into this as a neighborhood. Obviously, you can see that my neighbors here are scared. Notice how I came up last. I'm not for, I'm not against, I came up last. I'm just flying straight, because you know why? I want to see the good in this project. I want to be able to work with these gentlemen. But also, I grew up with all of these neighbors over here. I grew up with all my neighbors' kids. We all ate dirt together, okay? And that goes back a long way, all right? Please, keep us in your thoughts when you're making your decisions on this project, okay? Thank you very much, Council. I respect you for having us here tonight, and have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to be heard on this project? Is there any other members of the public that would like to be heard on this project? Okay. Hearing none, Councilman Foley.
I move to close public hearing.
Do we have a second? A second by Councilman Lanister. All those in favor of closing the public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, so now we're back to the full council on this. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm again going to address my colleagues and even the constituents out there, the citizens. There was some strong words said, some personal attacks, and I'm going to tell you, the very first meeting, and I'm going to put this on the record because those comments were put on the record, the very first meeting that was requested by the community, I made it very clear, my wife and I had a charitable dinner that night of the meeting. Mayor Picozzi went in my stay. He volunteered to go to the meeting in my stay, and he explained that at the meeting. Number two, because I missed that meeting, I put out an olive branch, or not an olive branch, I apologize. I reached out when there was a request for another meeting by the gentleman who just spoke, Dennis, and myself, the planning director, and the mayor, once again, met in City Hall for over an hour and a half, and we discussed all issues that the concerns they had, and one of the big ones was open space. And the one thing I kept beating the drum on, as from our experience here, is when you go to planning and the process of the planning department goes, you have the right to mention that. You have the right to say that. Now, as far as the comments that I take very personally, because, you know, the word corruption and no one stands up to the speaker and I'm in Rhode Island, that is absolutely hogwash. The fact of the matter is, I was quoted in the Beacon when this was first being told. And you notice the sentence began with, I got a call from a neighbor. The fact of the matter is when I met with the speakers previously, that yes, we met and yes, we have spoke on the phone, especially in when I mentioned 2017, the concern was the parking and the safety. The concern was because cones would be put on both sides of the road before any no parking signs were put up. Cones were on. So then we authorized traffic studies. And what I said was, the concern from the residents was they're open till 1 in the morning and Lone only knows what they're doing. And then they go into that open space and we're finding syringes and we're finding this and we're finding that. And I said, okay, I understand. But maybe one day, best case scenario, there'll be a bank. I said that in 2017, best case scenario, there'll be a bank. And I repeated those comments when, I guess, it was brought up, hey, this site is going to be, rumor has it, the site's going up for auction. And I said, man, fingers crossed, best case scenario, a bank. And lo and behold, it's a bank. Shame on me for saying best case scenario and hoping for the best in my eyes. So I don't appreciate the comments. They're very inaccurate. I did meet with the community. I've spoken to the people on the phone. If someone didn't call me personally, I don't know what to say, but I'm not going to go pounding on doors and every single door saying, hey, come see me when I'm putting out the information. The fact of the matter is, moving forward, this project went through the correct planning. As you heard the constituents say, they met with the mayor. It wasn't mentioned they met with me, but Dennis, we met and we spoke on the phone numerous times. I know I've spoken to the first speaker against it. We've met. We talked about it. The concerns were listened to. One of the big things was open space. They're getting open space. It's being addressed. The developer is doing what they have to do. It is my job to follow the planning board's recommendation, to listen to the citizens. But in this whole process, the city, and I want to assure all my colleagues, the city has been listening, has been involved. The planning department, the developer, the mayor of this property, the concern in this property, has been personally involved, and I have been involved. If I didn't beat a drum loud enough, that's unfortunate, but we've been involved. And the notion about corruption and the notion about I knew something beforehand, that's just absurd. That's absurd and ignorant. So I once again endorse and put ask for favorable action on this development. It'll tear down an old building, it'll develop, and it'll give the community an open space, which was, from the whole beginning, one of the big concerns that was mentioned. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Howe. And I can also say that I've known Councilman Howe for a number of years. I know the hard work that he puts in for not only his constituents, but the entire city. And we all try to meet with as many people as possible and hear from as many people. And I believe that the councilman for each project, not just this project, goes an above and beyond. Like he said, he was unable to attend a meeting and he asked the mayor to represent and go in. And it's a testament to the mayor to do that as well. He wanted to make sure that people were hearing from directly from the constituents were speaking directly to the city. So, I can say that I know Councilman Howe, and I know that he is a hard worker, and he does his absolute best to reach as many people as possible. And it's impossible to speak to every single person on every single issue. You try your hardest, and I know he mentioned half the people he already spoke to that spoke this evening. And I just want to say that as well, Councilman. I know the hard work that you do for your constituents, and I think that. You should be proud of the way you represent the city of Warwick. So thank you, Councilman Howe. Councilman Ricks.
I'm thinking that it might be helpful to have a little perspective on this. Taking a big step back, one of the things that makes America great is freedom of speech, the ability to come up and speak your mind, have your grievances addressed. That's something that they don't have in a lot of countries. Something else that they don't value in all the different countries around the world in the past or now is property. So in the Declaration of Independence, we got some flowery language about life, liberty, and wait for it, the pursuit of happiness. Well, we can't make the pursuit of happiness the law of the land. You ask a room full of people, what's the pursuit of happiness? And you get a room full of answers. No, no, no. When we sat down, when the framers sat down, drafted the Constitution, they gave the people the rights of life, liberty, and property. Now, that's very real for me and my family. Because before my family emigrated to the United States back in 1968, some decades before then in the 1940s, when my great-grandparents and my grandmother lived in Yugoslavia, they owned property. They had their house, they had a farm, and they had a bar. Then the communists, they came to power. What property? Oh, it's everyone's property now. Yeah, my family, they lost their property. And so when I hear people have frustration and expressing their First Amendment rights, as you should, let's not hyperbolize things here and say that we're losing our land. No one is taking away anyone's house here. What's happening is this is a lot that is separate from the lots that the houses are on. It went up for public auction, and I don't know if other bids were put in, but what ended up happening was a developer purchased that land. I've had not the same situation, but I've had situations where I was looking at a piece of property that I'd like to buy. Well, somebody outbid me. Or I saw the numbers coming in. There was no way that I could match that kind of a number. But when someone buys a piece of property, we have standards in Warwick, and those standards, they have to be enforced objectively. That often means that There can be some wiggle room here and there, and that's where the planning department, the city council, especially the city councilor for that area, everyone should come to the table, try to get things to work out. And there are absolutely protections for neighbors. So looking over this list of 18 different stipulations, that if this council takes action tonight, all 18 of those stipulations must be followed. And some of them, there's multiple subpoints on each one. For example, paragraph 12 on the bottom of the second page, which continues on to the third page. This has to do with the installation of a solid fence or evergreen plantings, as well as other landscape enhancements. Basically having a whole landscape plan that meets Warwick's standards. This is actually a lot better, a huge improvement over a lot of neighbors who they have their residences just behind businesses along Post Road. As a city councilman for Ward 2, I see a lot of complaints from some neighbors where a business will pretty much literally have a dumpster against a fence, something like 15 feet from a house. Well, all of that was done way before Warwick adopted these different zoning rules, and it's a shame that the zoning rules didn't exist decades and decades ago, but that was the situation then. Unfortunately, that situation for those particular neighbors isn't going to change, but what's going to happen here is something far better, because in recent decades, Warwick has adopted these different protections to make sure that you don't have nothing but a chain link fence separating you from a commercial property or the like, with a dumpster immediately up against it, causing all sorts of problems. There's also stipulations in here that the tenant, commercial tenant that isn't a bank, has to be a, quote, low trip generator and not a fast food, or similar busy establishment. These are stipulations that they didn't have to be included. These are concessions. And so, getting back to the guiding principles and the rules of what can and cannot be done with this type of property, we have to look at not just the rights of the neighbors, but also not look at simply what would our ideal be, but rather what has the developer brought to the table, and does it conform to the established rules and ordinances that Warwick has established in line with the Rhode Island statutes, Rhode Island case law? It's done all of those things and made concessions on top of it. It's something that I can certainly acknowledge. Not everybody is going to be happy with the result. Everyone can imagine something that would be a little bit more ideal for them, but all property owners have rights, and we can't tell a property owner in blanket terms that this is what the city demands that you do with your land. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Howe, do you have a motion?
Yes, move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman McElroy, Councilman Lattiser. Any additional questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action. Yes.
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 Thank you. First passage of PCO 20-22. At this time, I'm going to ask my colleagues, I would like to move again the agenda before we go back into committees. I would like to do public comment, Rule 41. I want to give everybody an opportunity. Then we'll take a quick recess after public comment. Is there anyone else that would like to sign up for public comment this evening? Okay, thank you very much. We're back into the full council meeting. We've done the roll call. We've done the Pledge of Allegiance. We've done general communications. I'm just going to go down the line here. Executive communications, there are none. If we can get the acceptance of the minutes on October 3rd, motion, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable.
Acceptance.
Acceptance of minutes.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor accepting the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. We're now moving to public comment. This is Rule 41. After the general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at each City Council public hearing meeting, there shall be a 15-minute period during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall be 15 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. Public comment session will terminate at the expiration of 15 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous consent. There are two individuals that have signed up for public comment. The first one is Rob Cody.
Oh, Mr. President, is the second person still here, just for the record? Because it seems like everybody left.
Two people signed up, so we'll give both people the opportunity to speak.
Just checking if the person's not there. I'd like the extra time. If you could just check if the person's actually in the building.
I'm just saying that two people signed up, so I'm going to give Can't time for that. Two people. Go ahead, sir.
I just want to give the council an update on a couple things. First, the Warwick firefighter lawsuit that's been acted. After we had 3 years of hidden documents that were relative with legal dispositions and legal opinions that were hidden for 3 years, this administration sat on it for 14 months and then filed a lawsuit, which in my opinion is defective, but I won't get into that now. However, I'm not sure if any of the council members know that the city also just filed a dismissal for the lawsuit. And it's really perplexing that in 14 months, the city filed a lawsuit and named 34 people in that lawsuit as defendants when those people didn't even work for the city of Warwick as employees. So we have 14 months of research, $225,000 of reports from YKSM, an itemized list of every person that was engaged in the untoward activity that absconded money from the city of Warwick, and 34 people that weren't employed by the city of Warwick are named as defendants. And so now the city had to file a dismissal against that. I know if I was named as a defendant in a lawsuit that has had so much public notoriety about it, because of the questionable activity and the chicanery that took place, I know that I'd be speaking to a lawyer myself. So the incompetence factor that could happen stifles me. And clearly, we do not have the best and brightest looking over this. That's number one. Secondly, with regards to the school construction, we're seeing these signs all over city property. I had extensive conversation. Three conversations today, Secretary of State, Board of Elections. Signs are all illegal under state law and under city ordinance. They fall under election laws. They are not to be placed on city property, city streets, or state property. And they've been littered all over the city. By the way, when I spoke to the Department of Transportation, I was told it's considered litter. And if it's on city property or state property, any person can remove it at any time and dispose of it. The PAC that's been hired to put forth this information as a pro-school construction I spoke to the Secretary of State's office. No one knows who they are. Board of Elections, they haven't filed any documents whatsoever. They're making all kinds of expenditures. No one knows who they are. We have an address, 2181 Post Road. I was there today. Spoke to everyone in the office. No one knows who they are. It's right across from the airport next to Cello's. It's a CPA office. No one knows who they are. Go on the Secretary of State's website. Can't find anything. Not playing by the rules. So, again, I'm not against the schools, and I've said this before. The only thing that's changed since I came before you people 6 years ago and said the formula to build schools is number of students times 200 square feet per student times $350 a square foot, and I was laughed at. The only thing that's changed is it's not $350 a square foot. It's $700 a square foot. But what I'm upset about is how this took place. The city council voted on moving the stage two application, having never read one page of the document because it wasn't ready. The finance director made multiple mistakes saying that we only have to go out to bond for $200 million. That was a mistake. We've heard all kinds of information that is false. I discovered a $50 million error in the financial projections. Once that was corrected, 3 months later, we find out that it's a $74 million error because of the interest. But what else is contained in the new projections that no one spoke about and no one on this council knew, that we have to pay $11.7 million as an underwriting fee. $11,679,000 as an underwriting fee. None of you knew it. Wasn't in any of the documents. It's deceptive. It was hidden from everybody. And we are going to eat that. I also looked at the cost projections of the school from November. From November, they did the cost projections, and then they did them again 3 months later in February, and the costs went up $52 million. The numbers are being moved around. And what I find really disturbing is, out of everybody that's involved in this, there's no one from the construction community. No one looks at this. The errors are of magnitude that I've never seen in construction. So, I mean, we have a problem. I'm not against building schools, but we're going to build two schools at a time where we have deception. And by the way, I'll go back to February 7th, where Councilman Sinapi had stated that there'll be multiple meetings in the future in the wards to educate the people. Councilman McAllister, you said the same thing. We're going to have all these meetings to educate the people before the vote. No meetings, not one. Only meetings that were held were from Mr. Cushman and myself collecting the data.
Point of order, that is categorically untrue. There have been multiple meetings held by multiple individuals and entities. That is a point of order.
You're interrupting
I can interrupt
me.
For outright
You're
lies.
Interrupting me.
You're required to follow the rules of our council. Remember that.
You're interrupting me. Are you done?
I'm allowed to interrupt you if you lie.
I didn't lie.
You did.
Go watch the you did. Watch the February 7th.
Excuse me.
Watch the
councilman
has made a point. Speak.
Go ahead, Mr. Right. Cody.
I stopped the clock, by the way. I'll restart it.
Go ahead, Mr. Cody.
That was on February 7th. To date, no one has taken any action to educate the people before they vote on something that will affect generations. Nobody. And even as of up to this week, I've asked questions of certain council members, basic questions from the data that the school department has produced. And they don't have the answers. No one's read it. You guys are ready to indoctrinate the future generations of the city with generational debt. It needs to be stopped. We need to look at this. And by the way, everybody needs to know that this is illegal. And this needs to end. The
school 1 minute, Mr. Cody.
I heard. I got a thing going here. Everybody needs to remove these signs. It's not fair. It's not fair to the residents. It's not fair that false information is being put out. And it's not fair that this council didn't do their homework. And you took the default position. Let's give it to the voters, but we'll educate them. But none of that was even done. It's very unfair.
Thank you. At this time, I request that we pause. We'll take a 5 minute recess and then go into back into committee. Councilman. Let's make it out after during the break. Thank you. Councilwoman Travis, we make that a motion for a 5-minute recess. Second by Councilman Lattice. Are all in favor? Aye. Thank you.
So the Ordinance Committee will reconvene at 9:15 p.m. Next on our docket is PCO 1021, an ordinance amending chapters 40 and 42 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Warwick to authorize the impoundment and destruction of unregistered off-road recreational vehicles that are used unlawfully on public roads. I'm one of the many sponsors on this. The reason for the introduction of this was a request from the administration and from the police department to address an open need, mainly the ability to impound and destroy the off-road vehicles. And as many of you well know, this was an issue at least last year, especially around Oakland Beach, and actually statewide for a time as well. And it hasn't really gone away. It keeps popping up. So we had legislation passed at the General Assembly to allow us to do this, and now we can actually take our action by passing this ordinance. Are there any comments or questions from members of the committee? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, and thank you for your work on this. It's an excellent proposed ordinance. I support it. I do have some amendments that, on speaking with the council solicitor, he thinks it better, simpler, for those proposed amendments to be heard in front of the full council. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions, members of the council? Councilman Lattice.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I also want to commend you for your efforts and work on this particular item. Of course, I'm a co-sponsor as well. This is extremely important. And this problem has not gone away. It continues to present itself in sections of my ward. I constantly get calls from several of my constituents complaining about, in one case, the same property. The police department has been inundated with calls about these several of these vehicles. I've gotten complaints from my constituents with some of these vehicles, chasing them down the road on Warwick Neck Avenue, on West Shore Road. This is a big problem. Somebody's going to get killed, and then it's really going to raise its ugly head. I think this ordinance is very important, and certainly I am going to be supporting it completely. And I'll put it on the record without naming the specific resident, because they've been a habitual offender with this problem. And heads up to some folks that live off of Meadowview Avenue. Just keep your heads up, because that's where it's going on, and it's going on Warwick Neck Avenue and West Shore Road. Good job, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, I also want to thank you for the all the work you put in this. This is something that's been ongoing. I've been screaming about it as long as you have. And I have like the same thing, Oakland Beach Avenue. There is four of them that go together. They go in between traffic. I had the police there. They're going to get killed. They go around a corner when a car's coming around the corner. And it's just, they don't stop. They don't stop. And the police are not there when they're doing it. But I mean, you can hear them coming from way down the road. But I'm glad we're finally putting something with teeth in it. So, thank you.
Did any of the members of the council have any questions or comments? Do any members of the public have any questions or comments? Seeing none, we can entertain a vote.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Next we have, it's basically a companion bill, PCO 1221, an ordinance prohibiting the sale of gasoline products to unregistered off-road recreational vehicles and snowmobiles.
Mr. Chairman.
Solicitor.
Thank you. If the committee would consider a motion to amend the agenda to correct a typo. The item is properly before us under the Open Meetings Act in giving adequate notice of what the ordinance proposes to do, an ordinance prohibiting the sale of gasoline products to unregistered off-road recreational vehicles and snowmobiles. However, it was misidentified with PCO 12-21. It would be appropriate at this time if the committee would amend the agenda. The item itself is proper, but amend the agenda to make it PCO 11-21.
All right, so I move to amend the agenda as provided by the solicitor.
Second.
Point of order. Would this be to amend both the committee agenda and the full council agenda?
We would have to repeat this exercise when the full council reconvenes. This is just correcting a typo on the council's agenda at this time.
Thank you. I think it was there was the motion and the second to do so.
Yeah, motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.